10 of Hebrews, part 2. So we're doing verses 19 through 39. Lord willing, we'll get through all of those. I'm just going to read two scriptures, then I'm going to ask David Weatherford to lead our minds in prayer before we start class. From Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and then Titus 2, 11 through 12, and you should have that in your handout. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. And then Titus 2, 11 through 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Let's go to God in prayer.
Our kind and merciful Heavenly Father, we bow before you at the start of this class to ask your blessing on all those who are here this morning. We've come prepared to be encouraged and edified and built up in our faith through the study of your word. And we're so thankful that there are teachers among us who are willing to teach and study. And we pray that you'll help us to all apply your principles and commands to our lives, that we might be better servants and better equipped to defend against the temptations and schemes of the devil. Father, we pray for those who are not able to be here due to sickness. We pray that you'll bless them with healing and that they might return to their walks of life. We pray for those who are traveling, and we ask that you would give them safe passage to their destinations. Father, we pray that you'll be with our brother Bob, help him and the other teachers this morning as they present from your word. And I know that they all want to do so in a right way and in a way that pleases you. Pray that we'll all live our lives in such a way that we have a good conscience before you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, a couple people came in late. Ms. Paula, would you like chapter 10? Deanna. Anybody else need chapter 10? Yes. Ms. Karen. Yes. All right. Everybody's got chapter 10. All right. As we had been last week, we had finished up through verse 18. So we're beginning in chapter 10, verse 19, which really focuses on the second portion of the book of Hebrews. Where we looked was chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. This was the law, the shadow of good things to come. Remember, it was a copy. It was a remembrance. It wasn't exactly there. The sins had to be sacrificed in the Old Testament. They had to be given sacrifices every year because those sins were remembered. And it said it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to do completely away with sin. Verses 5 and 10 talks about the sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Remember, it started quoting some of those old passage testaments, and it was looking for us to have genuine obedience to God. And Jesus, right, by his death, burial, and resurrection, took away that sin so we may still have a relationship with God. And in the last part that we read, 11 through 18, the priest had to do these things daily. But what was their position? They had to what?
He cleaned themselves.
Right, but they were standing, right? Meaning what? Their job never was complete. But when Jesus took the sacrifice, what did he do? What was his position?
He sat down
at the right hand of God. So his task was what? Completed. Right. His task was completed. All right. We look at verses 19 through 25. Therefore. Okay. Remember, we have that therefore in there. We just did these verses 1 through 18. Therefore. Remember the things we had just studied. Those things that are preparing us. And therefore, brethren, having boldness, confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Well, we know the holiest was what? It wasn't where it was the Old Testament, right? It wasn't the Holy of Holies. What are we talking about? Heaven, yes. And so as we enter in, we should have that fullness, that boldness. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, Hebrews 4, 6, verse 16, and Hebrews 9, verse 8. So I'll have some people read that. But that therefore is looking back to the boldness that was focused in Hebrews chapter 4 that we had studied, that we have a great high priest. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because he came in the flesh, right? We find grace at a time of great need. All of us have a need at times, and so we have that grace. And then this was made by the blood of Christ, because the cleansing of Christ's blood made sure that our sins are no longer what? Listed on our tally sheet. They're no longer counted against us. Melinda, did you need a copy? So, Clay, can you read that first passage for us, Ephesians? And in Hebrews 4:16, Tammy, can, oh, sorry, David, raise his hand, David. And then Tammy, can you do 9:8? Yes.
Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
And then 9:8. Isn't the Bible great? The Bible is such a good interpretation of the Bible. It focuses us on things. It says, okay, having boldness, confidence. Well, we just studied that a little bit earlier ago when we talked Hebrews chapter 4. Boldly go to the throne. We don't have to be shy, right? We have the blood of Christ, right? And in verse 20, it starts to focus us even more because it says, by the blood of Christ, we have what? By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, right? We see the comparison again between the high priest who went into the most holy place. He could only do that once a year. But his entering that was by what? A dead thing, right? He had to give a sacrifice. But we have a new and living way. Why? Because Christ gave himself as a living sacrifice. Well, he died, right? But he also did what? Was resurrected, right? Christ is the true and living way because his way is the only way into heaven. There's many people out there think there's many ways to get to heaven, but there's only one way, right? Christ is the door that we enter into the living way, and we do not have access without his death. All right, let's read a couple passages. John 14, verse 6, Hebrews 7, 24 through 25, and 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. All right, James, can you do 14, 6? Ken, can you do Hebrews 7, 24 through 25? And Joe, can you do 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5?
1 Peter
2, 4 through 5. All right. John 14, 6. This is one that we should know pretty well. John 14, 6.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yes. And in Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, Ken?
But he who, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make the intercession for them.
And another footnote I have is able to save completely or also save forever. All right, Joe, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5.
To whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stone are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to set forth to God by Jesus Christ.
Because he is the true and living way, and only is the way. And that shows that he was a living stone, that also we are living stones, that gives us that true assurance. And that's what it says in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. And we're leading toward this end of this chapter, is leading us toward chapter 11, which we know is the Hall of Fame of Faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And so a true heart with full assurance, that means we are sincere and genuine in our worship to God, and without any doubt, fully trusting our high priest, Jesus. Our hearts sprinkled from an even evil conscience, our hearts are cleansed of sin that God doesn't remember anymore, and our bodies are washed in pure water. Well, Jesus was baptized. He gave us that example. It wasn't so that the water has to be pure, right? We don't test and make sure this is like free of any impurities at all. But his blood was pure that cleansed us, because when we were baptized into his death. So we want to read Ephesians 3:12, Hebrews 6:11, and Hebrews 9:14. Sherman, can you do Ephesians 3:12? Anita, do you mind doing 6:11? Okay. And Karen, can you do 19:14? All right. Sherman, Ephesians 3:12.
In whom ye have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
And Hebrews 6:11, Anita. And in Hebrews 9:14, Karen.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, blanched in conscience from the dead works to serve the living God?
And so those are same principles that we had studied before, seeing that we should have the confidence, the boldness, the strength, the diligence, full assurance and hope that God will give us a home with him because his son. And in Hebrews 10, verse 23, goes from being our bodies washed with pure water to let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Okay? For he who promised is faithful. You know, when man makes a promise, you know, we hope they finish and fulfill that. You know, hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to do this task or I'm going to do that task. Oh, something came up. But when Jesus and God made the promise, we have the what? Full confidence that that will be accomplished, right? We hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So let's look at what Paul had to say to the Corinthians in the 1 Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 1:19. And 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who'd like to read 1 Corinthians 1:9 and 1 Corinthians 10:13? But before I do that, here, Danielle. Who'd like to read those verses for me?
I'll read 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
1:9.
Okay, 1:9. And David, can you read 1 Corinthians 10:13? David Weather. There's many Davids, so I'm just starting. 1 Corinthians 1:9.
God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
And then 1 Corinthians 10:13.
No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
So hold fast our confession of hope without wavering. Verse 24, chapter 10. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Well, that's something we should do all the time, right? We're here to stir each other up, to help build each other up, to help stimulate, to help, New American Standard says stimulate, to help where we all have different trials. We need to set the example. We need to be those, an encouragement to those that need that. And then in verse 25, this one has been talked about many, many times. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, remember what was happening in this time period. What were they being from the Roman government and the Roman elect? Right. They were having persecution. You know, we're coming close to where Jerusalem's going to be destroyed the first time in 70 AD, and then later, we know about 165 AD, there's nothing left. They wiped it out because there was an uprising. And so people would sometimes forsake the assembly because they were afraid of the persecution. Well, you know, we need to make sure that we're not forsaking coming together. What does it say? Well, we need to build each other up with love and good works. Well, how can we do that if we don't see each other, if we're not here together? And it says an exhorting, you know, encouraging one another until that day comes. You know, forsaking the assembly. It could be meaning one time. Well, okay, sometimes people are sick. They can't come. We understand that. They've had surgery. They've had other events in their life. They're out of town traveling. You know, that's not a pattern. But when we start putting off, well, you know, I'd rather go to this football game on Sunday, you know, than come to the Lord's service. Fishing, and I like fishing. I like fishing. Like some of you know, I like fishing. But the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. Fishing can be put aside. I can fish other days of the week, yes. And even though there were persecution, God was still telling them, we need to assemble. We need to be with each other. We need to be building each other up. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Remember, he was talking about, you know, these Jews that were going back to Judaism, they were forsaking the sacrifice of Christ. They were rejecting God's plan. And it's like, well, if you do that, there's no sacrifice, right? If you go back into Judaism, if you do away with that, because in verse 27 it said, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. And then that term, that doesn't sound good at all, does it? Yeah, fiery indignation, which will
devour
the adversaries. So we see these things that are coming, and if we're rejecting Christ's blood, we know that the blood of bulls and goats can't offer the sacrifice that he did. And then some of those that believe Christ is the Son of God, but then willfully go against that in sin, there is no sacrifice according to that. In Hebrews 6:6, it says, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Again, if we openly, willfully turn our backs on God, he doesn't have the sacrifice for us. 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has done what? Trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a
common thing,
and insulted the Spirit of grace. So in that statement there, we turn our backs on God. We treat Jesus' sacrifice as a common thing, that it's just an ordinary thing. It was done once, forever, for all. And then we insult the Holy Spirit, who's also giving us the things that we could read here as to why we were moving forward and why we have that knowledge that Christ died for us. Because how much worse is it for someone who rejects Christ after knowing the truth? And turning back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great
a salvation,
which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The apostles, Paul, and now we have the text in front of us to give us that example. In verse 30 of chapter 10, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If we fall into the hands of the living God, what do we have as our protection? Christ. If we have enclosed with Christ, Christ protects us. But if we turn our backs on Christ, if we turn away from him, then we have nothing. And this was, verse 30 was quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 35 through 36, where it said, vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there's no one remaining, bond or free. And then let's turn to Romans 12:19, where they also made a point to quote this. So if it's quoted in Hebrews from Deuteronomy and also quoted in Romans for the same thing, I guess God wants to make sure that we pay attention to this. Romans 12:19, and I'll read that. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And when it said in 31, to keep, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, we know we have endurance to continue the work in the kingdom because we are covered and protected from the blood of Christ. But if we remove that protection, if we turn away from that, then we have judgment. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:10, Luke 12:4 through 5. Rebecca, can you read me 2 Corinthians 5:10? Melinda, can you read Luke 12:4 and 5? Let me know when you have 2 Corinthians, Rebecca. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And then Luke 12, 4 through 5, from Melinda.
And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you one who can fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him.
And God points to the bodily fact that when our body dies, we still have a relationship with him. But if we're allowed to turn away from God, then we don't have that relationship. We don't have that full salvation. We don't have that everlasting time, that everlasting hope in heaven. Continue in Hebrews 10, 32 through 34. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you become companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of goods, possessions, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession of yourselves in heaven. So this is talking about some of the things the saints had to endure. And we see that in Acts chapter 4 through 9. You know, in the first century, there was trials all around them, right? They were ridiculed. They were verbally and physically assaulted. They had their possessions taken. But what they didn't do, they didn't lash out. They didn't take it against them. They didn't, you know, start a physical altercation. We know when Peter was charged in front of the Sanhedrin council, right? He told them, it's better for us to serve God than obey you, right? And in Hebrews 6, 9 through 10, it says that we are confident of better things. And we, yes, the things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and you have ministered to the saints and to do minister. And Paul wrote that, you know, in Philippians 1:7, just as is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense, confirmation of the gospel, and you are partakers with me of the grace. So here was talking about someone who was in chains. Well, we know Paul was in jail and was in chains. So he's talking about the endurance, going through that. You did not complain about persecution, but joyfully accepted it and kept staying the course, knowing that they have a better and more enduring possession. Where? And I read from Matthew 6:20 last Sunday, right? But lay for yourselves treasures in where neither where rust cannot destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. Yes. So we have 10 minutes. We'll finish the last section here, 35 through 39. And it starts off in verse 35 with, therefore. So remember the things we just talked about. Remember the things we talked about in 32 through 34. We talked about 19 through 31. Therefore. Remember, he said you were turning away. Do not cast away your confidence, which has... Now, was it anything I did to get this great reward? All the effort was on Christ. All I have to be is obedient, right? I have to be obedient. That's all I need to do. So don't throw away my confidence. Don't throw away my shield. Don't throw away my protection, because I have a great reward associated with that and protection from all these things. In verse 36, for you have need of endurance. Well, when you think about endurance, what do you think? I have to press on, keep on keeping on, right? I have endurance. I need to keep walking that course. I need to keep pressing forward, right? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's the promise? Eternal life. I have a mansion in heaven, right? Jesus said. And there are many mansions. If they're not so, I would have told you. The writer was pointing to the fact that if we turn back to Judaism, the people that he was writing a letter to, then the promise of the reward of heaven would also be cast aside. Well, let's turn two chapters forward in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Angela, can you read that for me? Hebrews 12, verse 1. So this is a race that we have endurance to run. Some of us are still walking at this point of our lives. We're not running like we were when we were younger. But we're still moving forward in that race. We're still moving forward for that reception of eternal life and the reward of an inheritance. Colossians 3:24. Turn with me there. I'm going to go ahead and read that. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve Is that true for each of us? Are we serving?
Hopefully.
Is it enough? There we go. Is it enough to serve the living God? Yes, it is enough to serve the living God. Chapter 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry or delay. Now the just shall live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now it doesn't say faith only, but it talks about faith. And this was a direct quote in 37 and 38 from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And I'll read that. And then if someone would look up, can you look up Luke 18, 6 through 8? Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, 3 and 4. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just live by faith. Luke chapter 16, verses 6 through 8, Chet. Luke 18, verses 6 through 8. Will he find faith on the earth when he comes again? Will he find us being faithful on the earth? Will we be the faithful remnant on the earth when he comes again? The phrase, the just shall live by faith, is also quoted in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. So the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say faith and then there's a word after it, only, right? It says it'll live by faith. Where am I putting my faith? In Christ. What else am I putting it on? His blood. To do what? Cleanse me, take away my sins. So I'm not just living by faith. I'm living by the faith that Christ was my Savior. He died for me. He is a better high priest. He entered through the veil, his flesh, into heaven so that we may have a relationship. So when we are living, we're living by our faith. The last verse, verse 39. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So the writer is now leading us in this last couple verses toward the next chapter, which is we consider the chapter of the Hall of Fame of Faith, but leading us forward going, we need to have this faith, we need to have this confidence, we need to have this boldness, and our focus has to be not going back, right? He's leading those that are, he wrote the letter to, don't go back to Judaism. It's not better. Christ is the better way. And as we start this second half, it's right, keep on moving forward. Keep on pressing forward. Keep the faith. Keep the endurance. Keep moving also. We are those that believe and live by faith, as quoted in Habakkuk, also placed in Romans and Galatians, so that we may have that focus. All right, I have a couple questions toward the end here. So if we look at the main point of chapter 10, it's really split in two parts, right? The second half is the focus of keeping the faith, keeping the endurance. But the first half, right, is also a contrast of what? The sacrifices that were given us. The Levitical system, was it perfect? No. And it was what? The Old Testament and the tabernacle was a what? It was a shadow, a physical copy, right? And sin had to be remembered or was remembered every year. And so the blood of bulls and goats couldn't what? Completely do away with sin. But we know that Christ was all sufficient. He fulfills the will of God. And we have absolute forgiveness of sins. Can we be confident in that? That we have absolute forgiveness in sins? Yes. And then we have exhortations, right? Building up in 19 through 39. We have an exhortation to be diligent. We have an exhortation and to not turn away to apostasy. And in verses 32 through 35, keep on keeping on, keep the endurance. Because in 35 through 39, what are we going to get if we are pressing forward? The promise, right, the promise.